This is Madiba's Radio News.
Your top stories for this hour. The national dialogue has come and gone, and it has left South Africans divided over the drama that commenced. The family of e-hailing driver Mthokozi Simvelase are asking for help to give him a dignified burial after he was shot and set alight at Maponya Mall on Wednesday. The developing story of Eldorado Park father who is accused of abusing and murdering his daughter, baby Nikita, is set to appear for bail, along with the mother who is charged for failing to protect her daughter and defeating the ends of justice. Coming to sports, a sad weekend for SA fans as the national teams and Dricus du Plessis lose over the weekend. Good day, my name is Chantal Fagude and I'm going to be presenting your news with the Science Package. The first convention began over the weekend at the University of South Africa. This initiative was aimed at addressing national issues and fostering a new social impact among stakeholders. While this was a good initiative, it caused an uproar and division amongst South Africans, others disputing that the money for the program could have been used for better developments rather than conversation that might not lead to change. Public figures like Siv Ngesi took to social media to say that the 700 million rands should have been used to better the lives of fellow South Africans by building secure housing, clean toilets, more schools, road for access to rural areas and paying for degrees. Family of Mthokozi Simvelase, the e-hailing driver, have come forward to ask for help in giving him a dignified burial. Mthokozisi was shot and his car was burnt with him alive. Velase had been in Joburg for a week and bought the car that he used for e-hailing and only used it for 2 days before he was killed. The family is pleading for the assistance of taking his remains to be returned to his home in KZN. His uncle Mlamuli Khuzwayo says that they don't have the money for the funeral and they are struggling to come to terms with his death. Moving on to sports, the South African team struggle to stay afloat as the Boks, Proteas and Dricus du Plessis lose over the weekend. The national cricket team playing against Australia in the final T20 international of their three-match series on Saturday. They managed a 172 in their innings, but that wasn't enough to stop Glenn Maxwell. The Australian star produces a blistering 62 off just 36 balls, steering his team into victory in the final over. It was then the Springboks' turn at the Ellis Park in the Rugby Championship against Australia. Australia hasn't won at this venue since 1963. The Boks led with 22-0 after 19 minutes, but the Wallabies worked their way back into the match during their second half and won by 38-22. Lastly, just like the Springboks, du Plessis dominated the majority of the match. Du Plessis had no answer for the brutal takedowns of Chameev over the five rounds. The judges scored their fight 50-44 in favor of Chameev. And that's it for me with the news of this hour. You'll see me next in the Science Package with Ciko Ketelo.
Send your stories to news.medibasradio@mandela.ac.za.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pulei Madiba's Radio.
Uteleriche Madiba's Radio.
Otecheleza Madiba Radio.
Omametwe Madiba's Radio.
Atleise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalelei Madiba's Radio.
Ulaleli Madiba's Radio.
Niko checheleza Madiba's Radio.
Oredite Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the way for you to be heard.
The people of South Africa, welcome, welcome, welcome back to Science Package. Of course, you tune into Science Package here on Madiba's Radio podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, to introduce myself, my name is Ciko Ketelo Ndlovu, the brightest star on radio. But because we're on podcast, I don't know if it still counts. I think we'll probably say on podcast or some type of airwaves. But of course, I'm not here alone. Of course, I'm with the iconic, the great, the amazing, the dazzling Chantel. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Rico. How are you?
I'm doing good. Because listen, today we got a lot to cover. Yeah. I just love the headlines because like I feel like there's actually a lot going on in South Africa.
South Africa is dramatic. Yo. Like the past weekend.
Like
has really been dramatic.
There's just been so much going on. You're just like, what a country we live in. What a country we live in.
Yeah.
But of course, getting back to business, this week on Science Package, we are covering such juicy stories as well. Firstly, we're going to keep it here in NMU as we speak about the welcoming of Professor Guillaume Taung to Nelson Mandela University. Because, listen, it is Women's Month, and each episode, we want to celebrate a certain woman. And Prof. Mutawong, she's just the girl that she thinks she is. And then after that, we're going to be speaking. We're going to go all the way to Asia, where we're going to be speaking about Shanghai Dashing International Airport and the problems and just whatever's going on with that terminal. Because, child, there's a lot to speak about there. And, of course, lastly, we'll be speaking about, we have a bit of a warning for a lot of banking apps. Because, listen, mostly, I wouldn't say everybody, but mostly everybody uses banking apps. And although they are convenient and they're moving us to the future, we don't have to be in 1990-something and standing in the bank till and it's payday. Like, nobody has time for that. But there is dangers. But let me not spoil anything. Let's get into it. So, Chantel, firstly, how has your Women's Month been?
It has been glorious.
Period.
Yeah, a lot of women have been celebrated so far.
Mm.
Despite South Africa's GBV stats so far. But I feel like this Women's Month, a lot, something good, a lot of things that are good have happened. So let's see if we're going to have more good things happening towards as we end.
True.
Or
is it just going to... I hope that it continues for like forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, not just for Women's Month.
Yeah,
but for
every
like
month.
The rest of our lives, basically.
Because it can't just be a month.
Yeah, it can't just be like a month. We need to be celebrated every day of our lives, basically.
Every day, indeed. Yeah. But speaking about Women's Month, listen, NMU is all about, although it is named, you know, Nelson Mandela University, and it's centered around Mr. Nelson Mandela, we love him down, but Professor Guillaume Taung has joined NMU, and I'm so excited about this, because seeing more people join our varsity, especially like people with accolades, people with like they're carrying things, hey?
Yeah,
like it's actually quite
very heavy things they carry.
Like it is quite heavy. Now, if you don't know Professor Mutaung, she has been appointed as the FALF-FREF Mandela Research Chair in Entrepreneurship and Financial Inclusion, a leading biomedical scientist and founder and CEO of Global Health Biotech. Prof. Mutaung brings over 26 years of higher education experience. 26 years is a long time. It's a long time. And I was shocked because when I saw her photo, I was like, she looks so young.
Yeah.
Like, where's the 26 years coming from?
I thought she was like 36.
Same.
So it was like 26 years.
Like, It's not clocking.
It's not clocking.
But I guess they say, you know, black don't crack.
Yeah.
Black don't crack, shout. But listen, 26 years is quite a long time. And through her 26 years, she's bridged research, innovation, commercialization, and entrepreneurship, particularly in advancing women in STEM fields. Because we all know that when it comes to like STEM, it's a bit problematic because they still, the inclusion of women is still a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know why in 2025 it's still a problem, but yeah.
Well, it's all part of the patriarchal system.
Exactly.
If we may say so. But also, like, women in STEM. Like, I've seen the things that she's doing with the gender-based violence and femicide, healthcare value chain, and the quality of education.
Mm.
So she's known for transforming scientific discoveries into real world solutions. Oh, and she also has her own company.
Oof, like I also like when I found that, I'm like, she is busy.
She is really busy.
Like she's just on that paper and she's just making sure that, listen, I'm gonna change the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the university's motto, change the world. Is it actually? Let me not quote. But I am probably sure it is change the world.
Should we double check?
Let's move along. But she also has a lot of accolades, actually. Like, yeah. She's done a lot. She's also the winner of the Savile Trailblazers Top 2022/2023, as well as the Durban University of Technology's Chancellor's Award for 2022 for an impactful entrepreneurial project. And lastly, Technology Innovation Agency and SAMRC Award 2022 for a project on plant-based morphogenic factors in bone and cartilage tissue engineering. She's done a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, she's done a lot. And the thing that, with her, it's like, she's within, like, science, but she's also with business, but she's also in research. She's everywhere. And I love that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in this life, it's very hard to choose one thing and stick to it.
Yeah.
Because we are, like, multifaceted human beings. So I love the fact, like, people like her inspire us to be like, listen, we can do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you're studying a certain thing. You can dabble your hands in everything, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. Be everywhere, you know? So I think that's amazing to hear, and it's amazing to see that she is part of our lovely university. Like, it's like, we're so grateful. Like, if we ever see her on campus, I'm literally going to bow. Like,
are we going to see her?
Like, that's the thing, though. That's also another question. Like, you barely ever see these execs on campus, though.
Barely. But if you attend those events that they usually have, you get to see them.
True.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was this other, like, book signing. Was it last semester? Yes, it was last semester. There was book signing for, like, the Department of Humanities.
Mm-hmm.
And the literal dean was there.
Even last week, they had the student... I forgot the name, but student something, and all the executives of the school were there.
So it's like, I guess we just gotta attend those events.
Yeah, if you wanna see them.
You know.
Watch out on your memo. You'll see them. Like, you'll see them.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like at the end of the day, I feel like you're not gonna see them at the crawl, you know.
What are you gonna be doing?
True. Like, are they just gonna sit down and be like, what's good, students? Ah. Like. But a main building. Maybe main building.
For what?
Aren't the offices there, like, on the top floor, 17, 18, 19?
Are they even occupying those offices? These people are busy.
Hey.
Like, look at her. Her record.
Mm.
These people, you're not going to see them just chilling in their offices doing what?
True.
Because we're not going to be going up there and be like, yeah, can you please put me on your research for tissue, whatevs? They're going to be
making money moves
and making... Since she's here at our school, she's going to be making our school probably get some sponsors for the science faculties and all of those things. And maybe some of her work, the trials of her work, maybe they might be carried out in our school laboratories. You never know.
I guess there is no time to just be sitting in the office.
Really?
And be like, you know, I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting, actually.
Yeah.
It is very interesting. But I feel like it's time to move on to our second topic. We're going into the aviation industry.
Yeah.
We are flying away from South Africa. We love South Africa. But, you know, there's so much going on outside of South Africa. And we need to delve into it. Now, if you don't know, Shanghai Dashing International Airport. It's an airport.
It's just an airport.
But actually, this airport is the world's largest single building terminal, spanning over 70,000 meters square, with 82 boarding gates and 4 civilian plus 1 military runways. So for people who are not very into aviation, now, different airports, I know African airports is a bit different, but like when they mean single terminals, like the whole airport is one building.
Yeah.
So one building with all the terminals, all the gates, that. And I feel like, unlike, for example, in the US or other airports where it's like terminal one will be its own building, terminal two will be its own building. And then you have to take a bus or like an underground train.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just one thing. And I feel like, I don't know how I feel about that system though. Like, I like it because I feel like it's easier.
The one building system.
Mm.
But you're going to get lost.
That's the thing.
Like, you're going to get lost more often than just arriving at a certain point and then they carry you to that terminal.
True, because it's like, for example, if you're taking an international flight, You're just in the international section. You don't have to...
You're not going to see the locals. You're going to see the people you're going with.
True.
So if it's one building, chances of getting lost are like many.
True.
So, yeah.
And I feel like African airports, like, not to say they're not big. Mm-hmm. I feel like it depends, but I think all of our airports are single terminal buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the only airport you can get lost in is Orao Tambo.
Yeah. I've been lost.
Yeah, same. Like, do you know how long it is to walk, like, when you take a flight into OR
mm-hmm.
and walking from the plane to the exit of the airport? It's a whole 10, 20-minute walk. It's so long, and it's just like, oh. By the time you get to the gate and, like, you're waiting for, like, whoever's picking you up, you're just like, you're exhausted.
Imagine if you were to take the HAL train from there.
Oh, I can imagine. Yo!
Oh, so moving along.
Moving along. Now, despite its impressive infrastructure and a design capacity that can handle over 100 million passengers by 2040,
mm-hmm.
it's experiencing a bit of issues. Like, there's a lot of debates around it because although, like, it is continuously expanding the airport.
Yes.
At the same time, the expansion is not really catering for the numbers that it's receiving.
True.
Because, like, there's a lot of shops in the terminals and a lot of passengers. But, like, when you look at the statistics, I feel like they're just the statistics. The statistics are very mixed. Because on the one end, the passenger number is increasing. I mean, Shanghai is a hub. Like, it is one of the biggest cities. Isn't it the biggest city in China?
In China, yes.
Yes, it's the biggest city in China. No, it's Shanghai, actually. Yeah, it is Shanghai.
Yeah, it's Shanghai, not Beijing. Shanghai. Yeah.
So it is the biggest city in China. And due to that, when you're going into China, most likely you're going to encounter Shanghai dashing. But then there's also statistics that also say the passenger numbers are not, they're not communicating. Especially considering the size of the airport.
Of the airport, yeah.
So it's like, it's interesting to see. And a lot of people are complaining because they're saying that, like, such a big building, so many shops, but if the number of people are not really catering for that, then the airport kind of works at a loss instead of a gain. Because imagine a lot of shops, it's like you have to pay rent, you have to pay electricity and everything, but yet your sales are not really communicating your reason to be there.
Yeah, so apparently the reason why the numbers have decreased, it's the lingering effects of COVID. So we're saying it was built to handle more than 100 million passengers annually, but it has turned into a different story. And the cause, not the cause basically, but the aim of the airport being extended was to reduce the congestion in the Beijing Capital International Airport. So, and for it to become a major transit hub in Asia.
Which is quite interesting when you think about, because I feel like, although, like, because COVID was an unexpected, like,
event.
No one expected it. So I guess, like, pre-COVID, we always thought, nah, travel's going to increase and increase.
Yes.
So then, like, even though, you know, COVID, okay, not to say it's no longer with us.
But it kind of is not.
Yeah, it's no longer as gruesome as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're like, the world is outside and we are living back to normal, I do feel like you would expect the travel numbers to increase, but I guess considering how the economies for most countries didn't really recover after that,
mm-hmm.
so most people don't really have money to travel as before. And even when you come to like business travel, I mean, like, we have Zoom, we have FaceTime, we have Teams, all these things. You don't have to travel to different places for a business meeting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can just have it online, and it's easier like that. You don't even have to live in the place you work at. You know, like, it's
exactly.
The world has changed so much after COVID, so I guess the travel numbers affected this.
Yeah, but it said that maybe after some time, since they said in 2050 or 2040, it'll go back to it being a major hub.
True. So who knows?
Maybe we might divert back it might not. So that's we don't thing. Know.
We don't know indeed. And I also saw from like a more so passenger perspective, a lot of people are actually complaining that another reason as to why the airport is not doing as well as expected is because like of the distance of the airport. Because from like basically Shanghai city center to Shanghai Dashing International Airport is 46 kilometers. That is far.
Really far.
And I know like airports are supposed to be like situated outside of the city, but at the same time, it still needs to be convenient to get to. Yes. So now 46 kilometers to travel to the airport.
Imagine a tourist attraction being Shanghai, and then the nearest airport is like 46 kilometers away from the tourist destination.
It's like,
it doesn't make sense.
Because now, yes, you know, China does have very good public transport with the trains, but still, it's still a cost. It's still like, imagine how much you're going to pay.
Yeah.
And if you don't take a train, or you take like, is there Uber? And even like, whether you take like public transport, like taxis or Ubers and stuff like that, like it's still going to be a cost as a tourist, and you're going to sit in that car for 30, 40 minutes. It's a lot. And I guess also, I think the only airport that suffers the similar problems of Africa is Kinshasa and Durban. Because I know when that airport actually opened, a lot of people complained. Because like the old airport was located in like the Ispingo next to Mlazi area in Durban, which was much closer. I think it was only 20 minutes from Durban city center. While now Kinshasa is like all the way at the north side. It's like a whole 40-minute drive plus traffic. Because, hey, you know, traffic is always a thing. So I feel like with Kinshasa, it also suffers the same problem as well. And like in PER, it's like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
You know?
But I think with regards it to being far, but Kruger, is it far? It's closer to my house. I don't know about the city center. Probably like 15 minutes drive to the city center.
True.
I don't know about the others.
Because I feel like when you fly into Kruger Bumalanga, it's like some people are flying to Nelspruit, other people are flying to like Kruger National Park or like the other tourist destinations, Bochra.
Yeah, but it's closer. I feel like the one in Bumalanga is made in the center of all the destinations that everyone wants to go to.
True.
So like if you want to go to the city center, it's like probably like 20 minutes drive. And then if you want to go to Kruger, to Kruger it's a bit far, but if you are in the center, then it's closer. With also other places like Graskop, really close.
Yeah.
If we were to talk about Graskop, really close. But then, I feel like, Kruger.
It's
center,
It's a good located airport. It's very beautiful, actually. Like, I feel like that's my favorite. Like, that's my favorite airport. I've got the thatch roof. Oh, I could talk about that airport for ages. Yo, Kruger. We love it down.
Yeah. And then with regards to OR, is it at the center?
It's on the eastern side. So from OR to like Joburg CBD, it's around like 20 minutes, 20-25. So it's close, but it's not
really close.
Not really close. It depends where you live in Joburg. Because I know, for example, if you live like on the more northern and like western side, like Sandton, Randburg, Roodepoort, it's going to be a drive, you know? So I feel like for some people, because like there's also Lanseria, which is located on the western side of like Gauteng, a lot of people use Lanseria if they're like flying local. But problem is, you can't fly from Lanseria to Port Elizabeth as of yet. So you still have to use OR. So I think that's the thing about, which is also now points the conversation of having like more than one airport in a city.
I disagree with that.
I have mixed feelings about it.
I personally disagree. Because, like, I'm going to make an example about where I come from.
Yeah.
Imagine two airports in Mpumalanga. What will be there for? Like, what will be the reason for them to have two airports? Because, number one, that airport, so far, there's only one international trip coming in.
To, like, Victoria Falls. I know it's somewhere in, like, in Africa.
Yeah. And then I think there's one also from, like, countries in Europe. I'm not sure. And then recently they started one from Kruger to Cape Town.
Yeah.
So far it's Kruger to Cape Town, Kruger to OR and what other? Kruger Durban. To Victoria Falls. No, there's no Durban.
Really?
You want to go to Durban, you go from like Kruger, OR, then to Durban.
Yo, hi.
That's the whole...
It's a whole...
Even when I want to go back home, I'd have to take a flight here to OR, back to Kruger, yeah. And that's... Triple the amount. Yeah.
And one thing I do also appreciate about Kruger is that the runway, it's long. It's a very long runway, actually.
Yeah.
It can cater, like, into... Like, it's longer than PE's runway, because I think PE, we can't really... The bigger planes that are more international flights can't mm-hmm. really cater for international flights because it's a short runway. It's a very short runway. But Kruger, I guess, because it makes sense, because Kruger gets more tourism. I mean, everybody want to go to Kruger National Park, you know?
Yes.
And... With Kruger, yeah, I feel like Kruger could do a lot. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
But could do a lot. It could, like it could. Hmm. But thing is, you still have to travel from another airport to another airport just to get to Kruger.
True.
So that doesn't make sense. I just looked it up, and the only trips they have is... Cape Town, Johannesburg, Victoria Falls, and I see one for Durban.
Oh, okay.
So that's new.
Okay, we see them.
They're trying. They are trying. We can see that they're trying. But
now the question was, is does Mpumalanga, for example, need more than one airport? Because I know actually there's also in Kruger National Park, Skukuza Airport. But...
Is the runway long enough?
That's the thing. Is it long enough? And also, I feel like... Because I've Googled the flight prices, and mm-hmm. it's actually more cheaper to fly to Kruger Mpumalanga rather than to Skukuza, because, you know, flying directly into the nature reserve is going to be costly. So no one's doing that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a nice drive from Kruger Mpumalanga to Kruger National Park, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So with the whole having two airports, because half me sees it from a business perspective, because having one airport for one province or one city, it can overwhelm the airport over time.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like, why two airports though?
Yeah, I feel like maybe an expansion, just like what they did with the Beijing one, but...
But then there's also a conversation of space, because a lot of airports, it's like, they don't have space to expand.
Yeah.
Like London's airport, it's like, that one has reached its full capacity. It's running way over capacity, but because there's like so many suburbs around, it's like, what can they do? It's like...
Yeah, so I think location matters in all of these airports, even the Beijing Daxing Airport. So the current role of it, of the Beijing Daxing Airport, says... It's posed to function as a complementary yet substantial gateway for the Beijing region, easing passenger and cargo movement to the diverse array of domestic and global markets. So they're saying the terminal is already accommodating and increasing volumes of domestic lift, while international carriers are beginning to recognize the operational and advantages of the new state-of-the-art complex. So... The come up might be coming sooner than we might be expecting it. Maybe sooner than 2040.
And that's actually very interesting to see that.
Yeah.
Maybe over time, who knows? It might be the busiest airport in the world at some point, because you know Asia is always popping like that.
Yeah, and over the years, I've seen like people really want to go to Asia, especially South Korea. So
yeah, that one is also a travel, and I feel like hey. With South Korea, the Incheon Airport also very big, and it's doing its job.
It's accommodating most of their travelers. So we might see China trying to fix this issue they have with their airport, but we can see that they are currently having, they are improving their service with the airport, so...
And service is a big thing, actually, because nobody wants to fly into an airport that's just a problem where now you're in security lines, it's taking time, services are slow, you're late for your flight. It's just a whole other mess that you don't want to deal with. And So, random question, but do you have like a favorite airport in Asia or not really?
I I haven't thought about going to Asia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't thought about it. Like, I see people wanting to go to Korea for all those. You see, have you seen on TikTok, like, when they're doing those color theories to see what colors suit you? Like, I see people going there, I'm like, I don't even know what color suits me. But then I'm like, okay, should I go?
Go just for that.
Yeah, or should I just be like, meh? Or should I just go to, like, see the those salons they're always promoting? But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I'm black.
So will it come out the same?
Yeah, so I'm like, meh, let's just postpone it to the future.
Yeah.
Probably, like, maybe when they are more accommodating for... Yeah. As black people, then I might consider going there.
Definitely. Yeah. But I guess they are improving over time. Especially now they're getting more international and stuff like that. Hopefully. Cause,
even with their makeup.
Yes. Because that was a big problem. Yes. Like, a lot of people, you'd go there, but you wouldn't find your shade.
Mm-hmm. And their makeup is... Apparently, it's like skincare.
Yes, it's like...
And their skincare is like top tier.
The elite, basically.
Elite skincare you could ever get. So, I might go there for the skincare, you know, because skincare is just skincare. It doesn't go with the color or anything. So, yeah.
It's quite interesting. Travel is such an interesting topic because so many different places around the world... do different things, and you know, you can experience different things. You can go to Korea for the skincare, we can go to China for the culture, whatever. So it's quite interesting. And you can come here to South Africa to experience everything that we as South Africans love and hold dear.
No DNA, just RSA.
That's on period. But speaking of RSA, we are coming back into South Africa and we are talking about banking.
Yes,
our banking apps ish now. There's a lot going on. The National Financial Ombud Scheme has issued a critical warning to users of banking apps and virtual cards, highlighting a case where one victim lost up to 500,000 rand due to fraud. Imagine.
These fraud schemes.
The scams are scary and they're getting even more advanced. Now, when you think about it, mobile banking use in SA has actually surged. More than 50% of adults use banking apps. Like 50%, so that's like half the population of the adult population. We use banking apps, we trust it. That's where all of our financial business is. So now that the scammers have found a way to kind of now affect that, it's like, it's scary when you think about it because the frauds are getting very, they're getting very smart by the day. And every day, especially when you scroll on TikTok, you see new warnings of like, there's this fraud where, you know, I think there was one where it was like, a bank will send you like a message. And then they'll be like, oh, dear customer, please re-put in your passwords and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
and they sent you a link.
Yes.
And then you think that link is...
legit. Meantime, they took everything. And you're just like,
But I feel like... I don't know if you've seen it since like last year.
Yeah.
Towards early this year. I don't know if it has stopped, but on my side, it has stopped. People have figured a way to access your card without you accessing your card. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
And they buy food on Uber.
Ooh, I think I've experienced that before,
I think last year twice.
Me too. Like twice where it's just minus 50 rand on Uber. And it
starts,
just like,
it starts as that 50 rand. And then if they see that they can take more, then
they take more. Yo, you see, and it's so like, the fact that it can happen to anybody, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I realized that when you log on into like Uber and then you want to enter a card, it doesn't like tell you on your banking app, like it doesn't tell you that someone is trying to use your card, blah, 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 blah. Can you confirm? Nothing. If you can, if I can get your card details and I put them on my Uber, I can do anything.
And now that you mention it, it doesn't actually ask.
It doesn't ask.
You just add the card and it's like, okay.
And then it's okay.
As long as you...
As long as they were to get that CVV number and the dates, it's over for you.
And it's actually quite scary because it can happen to anybody. And the fact that we've even experienced it is insane.
Yeah.
That Uber one was so like, especially as a student, 50 rand is a lot of money.
It's a lot. It can do a lot of things. Especially towards month end.
Yes. you find that's your last 50 rand.
Bruh.
And you can't get it back because you try to get it back. Like, well, we're sorry, but there's nothing we can do.
Exactly. Like, and another thing, I saw Capitec trying to, what you call, stop the scamming. Like, if you're on a call.
Yes.
You aren't allowed any transactions while on a call. Like, if you want to add a new beneficiary while on a call, it doesn't. If you want to increase your limit while on a call, doesn't. I don't know about other banks. I don't use other banks. I only use Capitec so far. So... if other banks have that same option, then I feel like that's a good initiative towards stopping this virtual banking scamming thing. So,
definitely. Because I actually love that Capitec does that. Because although at times it can be irritating when you're on a call and you want to make a business transaction. But I will say I'd rather face that irritation then get scammed. So I feel like, firstly, it opens the question, why am I doing banking while I'm on a call? Like, why would you do that? So props to Capitec for that.
Yeah, and another thing that they put up was the face ID thing when you want to send money. Mm. So that you can't lie, because some people lie about being scammed, but they're the ones who send the money to...
True.
...other people, knowing very well that they're going to be like, oh, they scammed me, and then try to get their money back. So... props to that.
But I know now, like, this with the face ID, there's a lot of, like, also criminal schemes where it's like they actually, like, coerce people into revealing their banking details. So you could be walking on the street or, like, and then they kidnap you and be like, listen, give me your PIN, open your banking app. They force you to open it with using your face, and then they have everything. So it's just like the more we try to find protection, the more the scammers just get more advanced. They're kidnapping us now. Like, imagine. Like, it's crazy out here. It is really crazy. But with all of this craziness, I feel like we should discuss, like, ways that we can protect ourselves. Because at the end of the day, yes, scammers are there, but we also need to find ways to protect ourselves and be responsible. You know, like, we can't be out here just, you know, in the middle. Like, I know one thing they always say is that do not open your banking app on, like, public Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Big problem. That one, yes. But sometimes...
yes, you know...
these other banks, they don't have what Capitec is doing for us.
True.
Like, I can't access my other thingies, banks, without having data.
Yeah.
And, like, public Wi-Fi is a thing now.
So, like, it's now, like, you have to choose whether... do I risk it? Do I need to do this transaction?
Exactly.
But I don't want to get scammed. I love the way it sounds like we're hyping up Capitec. Like, we're just like, oh, Capitec.
Oh, we are promoting.
Well, we're promoting them. Hashtag they must sponsor us.
Yes, please. Capitec, sponsor us. Sponsor the science package,
period. But I know they say edgy Rome is safe, though.
Yeah. But we are not always under edgy Rome.
That's the thing.
And with other... residences. Some residences still use edge room at their own residence, and then there's us. We are using whatever
Wi-Fi
is brought to us. Because when you're using edge room, you can see sometimes when you're trying to access some things, it will tell you that you're going into an unsafe website or anything.
True.
Yeah. So when you're doing with the other Wi-Fi's and everything, it just lets you go through. And if you're scammed while doing that, that's your own fault.
Wow, literally, no one can take accountability for you. Like, it's quite scary. It's quite scary now. But, like, for example, if you are ever, like, in a scam situation, so one day if you, hopefully, no one gets scammed. I don't wish that on anybody.
Yes.
But if, unfortunately, you do find yourself in such a situation, the first thing you should do is contact your bank to de-link your banking app and deactivate your digital wallet. Like, that should be the first step, is to deactivate your account, cancel your card, stop your card. Just put a whole on it. Because when you delay it and leave it for too long, your money can go. It can...
And another thing... I feel like I do it.
Yeah.
Before going out, I set a limit. And then, if possible, I can delete the app off of my phone. So in case something happens or they take my phone or anything, they don't have access to my banking details on my phone. So
that's actually a smart thing, actually.
Yeah. Just I don't know. Sometimes since I have two phones,
yeah.
I have one app on one phone and then I leave the phone with the app at home and then I just take the other one.
Okay.
So even if they try to do anything, they still can access my money.
Because at the end of the day, it's like...
It's not with me.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah. And also another tip that I also use for like people who have access to your banking... On the Capitec app, you can disable international purchases and online purchases. So you can turn that off and nobody's going to be able to scam you virtually. And when you want to do your purchases, you can just go back, turn it on, do your purchase, and then turn it back off again.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
so
it's a quick thing. And I feel like also another thing that we can do, I know I am a victim of this, is when it comes to card tapping.
Oh, yeah. I don't tap.
Really?
I don't tap. I have a tendency of losing my card.
Oh, okay.
So I know if I lose my card and somebody gets it, they're going to... First thing they're going to try to do is see if it taps.
If it taps.
Exactly. So I don't want that.
Because now there's even like... I know... Because what I also do sometimes is like I tap using my phone.
Yeah, but then it needs your password.
That's the thing. So at least on the phone, it does need a password.
Yes,
or a fingerprint.
Yes, but then on the card... No authentication, just
tap.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now if you're in a situation where, you know, you're at the mall, you're doing your groceries, you tap and they see card can tap.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, you know, while you're walking, it's real.
Uh-huh.
It's a dangerous world. It's
money gone.
But I know, is it just Capitec or is it other banks where it's like, for example, like, yes, you can tap, but there's a limit. Like, I think once you go over, like, I guess it also depends on the person. I think over 300, 400.
Yeah.
Then it's
some
like
people
password.
set it to that. Like, okay, if I tap more than 300, require my PIN.
Yeah.
But then others are like, it doesn't matter.
You can tap 20,000 if you want.
Yeah. And then there's people who know that people set their limit to 300 rand. So they're going to do 300 rand pay, do another 300 rand pay, till your money is gone.
Till your daily limit has been reached.
Yeah.
And if you put your daily limit high,
it's chai for you. That's why every time, and it's sometimes annoying. Let's say I set my daily limit and then I start shopping like I'm crazy. And then now I want to pay and my card declines and I know I have money. Now it's frustrating. I have to go on and increase my limit.
And it's a whole process. But I guess it's a process that it's better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Even though it can be a bit like, to now, especially when, you know, sometimes when your card declines in public, it can be,
it's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. And I know it's not, but it's just so embarrassing because you're like, I know I have money. And I feel like the cashier just looks at you like, so you don't have money. What's going on with you?
Yeah. And some people have attitude. But so far, the encounters I've had so far, especially here in PE, they're so patient.
They're very patient, actually.
Very patient. They know sometimes you transfer your money into your savings and then you need to move it from your savings to your main account so that you can pay to avoid these scamming things. Because, another option is moving your money to your savings. They
That's
can't
a good
access
one.
It even if they swipe 10 times or just decline.
Because, and to access your savings, you need the banking app. And if you delete the banking app, you're
no
safe.
Access.
So,
Hey,
we're learning things indeed. Yeah. Now, like, the things we do actually to stay safe is actually quite.
Yeah, in this new era of technology and all these things. Another thing they said here is to avoid saving your card details in browsers and apps and disable autosave features. I'm guilty of the autosaving when I have to buy my ticket to go home.
Because it's so much easier just
to because you're just going
to
be paste and then pay. And then what if someone accesses my phone now and then they start buying things? But then, Google has a thing. Where when you have to enter your card details, they will show you, okay, this is your card detail, blah, 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 blah. But then when you want to enter it, there's a PIN you're supposed to enter.
Yes.
So maybe that might come in handy, but do not be like me. Disable autosave and don't save your card details on those apps.
When you need to buy, just take out your card and do the full process.
Yeah.
I know Capitec. We love Capitec
today. Capitec.
I know, like, sometimes when you make online purchases, it's like, before it's like, you have to go to the app and, like, approve the payment. So I love that.
Yeah. What is it called?
OTP?
Yeah, it's OTP. There's another word
for it. Remote PIN.
Yeah. then, yeah, guys, be careful of these scammers.
Yeah, no, be careful.
They are working overtime.
Hey, like, they are working overtime and they're not playing. And I feel like, especially now, here in PE, they love targeting students.
Yeah.
Which is so sad because it's like, we don't have money. Like,
where are we supposed to get the money that you want from us? You know?
Like, let's start that conversation. Like, why? I mean, crime in general, like, that's a whole nother conversation. But, like, why are you talking to us knowing full well that you're going to steal somebody's card knowing full well there's going to be 50 rand? Like, come on now.
What are you going to be doing with 50 rand?
And at the end of the day, like, 50 rand is a lot of money. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, but as a person who robs people with 50 rand, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
And let's say there's four of you. You just robbed one person and that person had only 50 rand. Now you're going to divide 50 rand into four.
Four. Yeah. It's a real problem.
And yeah.
Also another safety thing a lot of people do, especially when, like, you know, when you're living, like, as a student, you're walking to the shops and stuff. A lot of people, it's like, either they don't carry their card and they pay using their phone, or they carry their card, but they don't carry their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes you can get mugged and, yeah.
But I feel like the card option is better. Now they steal your phone. Yo. Then...
It's not nice. It's
pissing me off.
It is really not nice. But, you know, we've discussed a lot of topics today. Like, I feel like we've learned so much.
Yeah.
Like, we were speaking about Professor Mutawum being the icon that she is. Mm-hmm. Love her down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing so many things. Hopefully one day we'll be able to meet her. Mm-hmm. I would love that. Would love that for sure. And then we spoke about airports. Hey, you know, aviation is such a nice topic. Or maybe I'm just biased. But aviation, we love it down, you know, at the end of the day.
This morning, I saw something on ENTA about airports.
Really?
Saying they are prohibiting portable chargers that are used on flights.
Oh.
So now, you can't charge while you're on a flight.
I mean, I understand in a short flight. Like, if you're flying
one hour to
Okay, sharp. But, like... If you're flying 16
hours plus, and then you have to connect to another airport. So you imagine you're connecting to another airport and you still haven't charged your phone and you still have more hours.
And also with charging at the airport, there's also that danger of being scammed.
Exactly.
Because now we don't know what's in that plug.
Exactly. And so, they might be retrieving your data while you're charging. So,
Never win.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we spoke about banking apps and the dangers that really are increasing. Because, hey, this is a dangerous world. It's a dangerous world. Like, but, you know, we try to stay optimistic. And we hope that everybody stays safe. Also, be cautious, too, with staying safe. You know, be cautious. Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be out here flying your card in the middle of a public space, telling everybody your password. Like, nah.
Because we're going to take that card.
Like,
and we're going to buy on Shein. Because our cards need to be cleared.
Because
it's summer coming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Do it, guys. We're warning you.
We didn't even talk about ATM safety. We didn't even talk about that. Because, hey, that's also a whole other topic in
but
itself.
But do you think people use ATMs as much as we did before?
I feel like we don't anymore.
We're always using our banking apps.
True.
Now, so.
But why is the Capitec line always so long then?
Because people are depositing money, actually. They don't want to carry cash around.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's no longer about withdrawing as people make it online. Like, everyone who's on a Capitec line, it's hard to see someone who wants to actually withdraw money.
Yeah.
Every time I'm on a Capitec line, I'm also going there to be depositing money.
Because
it's carrying cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 2025, it's not the vibe. It's not the vibe, Shem. And also another thing I've seen that every time we use an ATM, it's like people usually like do the thing where it's like they print cancel three times before using it. And also checking that the lid with it's like, because I've seen videos where you put your card.
And then...
Turns out the ATM was dodgy. Oh, hi, guys.
Yeah. New South Africa.
It's South Africa indeed. But, you know, we love and... We wish, what do we wish? we wish love and light to South Africa, hopefully.
Fellow South Africans.
Fellow South Africans, we hope that at the end of the day we stay safe and we stay thriving, because despite the dangers, I do genuinely feel like we live in a beautiful country, and
yes,
there's a lot more advanced.
Friendly country.
Yes, we're very friendly, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly country, very lovely country. And one place that is also friendly is Madiba's Radio.
In our city of Qumera.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, if you want to stay engaged with us, follow Madiba's Radio on all social media platforms, whether it be on X, I was about to say Twitter. Why do I keep on doing that? X, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn even. We're on LinkedIn. So maybe you can even get a job. Who knows? Hey, you might be sitting here with us, be like, I've made it. But Chantal, where can they find you on all the social media platforms?
I am on Instagram currently, only on Instagram. Mm. Chantal Fagu, the triple underscore.
Period.
So you're going to see me there. Or maybe find me on another show with Madiba's Radio.
Ooh.
So you never know.
You never know. Keep them guessing. Keep them guessing.
You might see me, you might not see me, but you might get me.
Hey,
you know?
Love that. Love that. Of course, you can catch me on Instagram at Katara.Tsugo and on Facebook at Tsugo K. Ndlovu. But once again, this has been Science Package.
Yeah.
Same time, same place next week. Bye.
Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay.
Madiba's Radio.